It's been a year since I stood before you and said, I don't have a sermon, but I just want to talk to you as the new senior pastor of this church. And what a fantastic year it's been, both for me and for the church. I love you guys so much, and I'm so proud of the church body and what you guys have done and what we've been able to accomplish. A couple new things coming around the horizon, some new missions that we'll talk about in the next couple weeks here that I think you'll be excited about. I know a lot of people have been asking, what are we doing? What are we doing? And those are some of the growing pains for me, just sometimes trying to get those things going and really seek God's will and what He wants us to do. But what a fantastic year it has been. We've had many church dinners and meals together, and I love that. We've been through a couple ups and downs and rough spots, and we came through all those things unscathed, I think, with Pastor Eric and Pastor Helen and myself. Just the ministry that I feel we've been able to hopefully provide for you guys. Home visits, hospital visits, some funerals, some weddings, just different things that we do. Needless to say, countless phone calls, many meals together with different people in the family. But what a joy it has been to serve you guys over the last year as a senior pastor of this church and our pastoral staff. It's just been humbling, but it's been a powerful experience. And God has grown you, and God has grown me, and God is still working on me because there's a lot of growth that needs to happen with me. But I'm excited about it. Today is Communion Sunday. We celebrate on the first Sunday of each month if you're visiting with us. And we're going to talk today. We're going to do this at the end of service. I wanted to do it a little differently. I thought, what a great day to talk about proclaiming His death until He comes again. And so the message today is entitled, Proclaiming His Death Until He Comes Again. And how do we do that? Well, let's open up our Bibles, if you would, to Matthew. And the first, we're going to go to a couple different books in the Bible here. But the first one, we want to go back to Matthew chapter 26. And we want to look at Jesus and the Lord's Supper. And we're going to look at Mark and Luke and 1 Corinthians. So stick your finger in 1 Corinthians. That's really the one where we're going to spend most of our time today. But in Matthew chapter 26, verse 26, Jesus has spent time in prayer. He knows what's coming. He's talked to His disciples about what's coming. They didn't understand and they couldn't get it. They did because they didn't know. They did not have that direct information that Jesus had about His death that was to come. Matthew chapter 26, verse 26 says, As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, for this is my body. Then He took the cup and gave thanks, and He gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood for the new covenant, or of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of this vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Let's flip over to Luke. And Mark says the same thing. The book of Mark says the same thing. And so over in Luke, chapter 22. Luke 22. Verse 14. And it's basically the same, but there's a small difference in it. Luke chapter 22, verse 14 says, When the hour had come, He sat down, and the 12 apostles with Him. Then He said to them, With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. So far, basically the same thing. Verse 17, Then He took the cup and gave thanks. And He said, Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And He took the bread, and He gave thanks, and He broke it. And He gave it to them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. And He adds, Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And then it talks about, they started questioning, who's he talking about? But if we go back up in verse 19, when he gave it to them, he said, This is my body which is given for you. But Luke adds, Do this in remembrance of me. You see it back on the wooden table there? Do this in remembrance of me. Or sometimes it just says, In remembrance of me. Now let's flip over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And this is where we get instruction that's outside of Jesus doing the Lord's Supper. Now before we do that, many churches, many people, and back in the day, they spent a lot of time in preparation for the Lord's table. A lot of time. And I'm not talking about several minutes. I'm talking about hours and days. Days in preparation of coming to the Lord's table. And I want you to think, as you prepare to come to the Lord's table today, which one of these fits you best? I have never taken the Lord's table so seriously. Now that I am prepared, I am eager to meet my Lord at His table. Or maybe this is you. God has revealed so much that has been hidden in my heart or that I've tolerated in my life. I tremble at the thought of meeting Him at His table. Maybe this one is you. God has revealed so many broken relationships in my life that I know I can't get everything reconciled before meeting Him at the Lord's table today. I question whether I should come up to the Lord's table. Or maybe your thought process is this. You've blown the emphasis on this way out of proportion. Don't expect me to get too serious about the Lord's table. There's some people and some religions that believe when you take the bread, it actually becomes the body of Christ that you are partaking. And as you take the wine or juice, that it actually becomes the blood of Christ, and you become one with Christ. Now, believing what we just read, they tell us that He took bread and broke it and gave it to Him and said, This is this. And He could have said, Here, have some of my flesh. But no, He just took bread and broke it and gave it to Him. And then the cup was the same thing. He could have said, Here, have some of my blood. But He said, No, this represents that. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, Paul is at the Corinthian church and he says, For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. He's telling them and communicating with them, I got this from the Lord. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And then He had given thanks and He broke it and He said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, He also took the cup after supper saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So Paul believed in verse 24, and in 25, it was important enough after the breaking of the bread to say, Do this in remembrance of me. And then the juice was the same thing. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he adds in verse 26, For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes again. And I was wrestling with that months and months and months ago, just saying, how do we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes again? How do we do that? We want to be Christ's followers. We want to be His people. We want to reflect Him. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. So if I eat the bread and drink the juice in a haphazard manner, in a careless and reckless manner, am I still proclaiming His death until He comes again? And by the way, why do we have to do it so often? Some churches do it every time they meet, every Sunday. We choose to do it first Sunday of the month. Why so often? Quite frankly, I think it's to do it in remembrance of Him. You see, when we don't do these things repetitively, it's hard to remember. We have some of us have smaller memories than others. I'll just say that. Okay, but as humans, we tend to forget things a lot of the time, unless it's repetitive. Why do we come to church every Sunday? I think it's to remember Him. Because if we don't, we tend to forget what we're supposed to be and act like. And sometimes that memory leaves us so quickly, it hits us before we hit I-40. And a car cuts us off. You see, 9/11 happened, and we're all very scared and fearful of flying, or a lot of us were. I fly today, I don't think twice about it. Why? Because I forgot. I've taken it for granted. If you've had a sick relative ever, and by a miracle they've come through, and then life goes on, you tend to forget about it. My father had several heart attacks over the years, and then he had quadruple bypass surgery. This was way back in 1980, 81. And so as he goes on a year, 2 years from then, you tend to forget about that. You tend to forget, oh, by the way, he's sick inside. Quadruple bypass surgery, he's okay, and you forget about those things. You take it for granted. He's been healed. And when he dies of a massive heart attack, you say, oh yeah, he was still sick inside. And we didn't do all those things. That's why we do this. That's why the Bible tells us, have regular fellowship with one another. It keeps us connected to God. It keeps us connected to His Word. We fellowship so we remember, so we connected to Jesus Christ. Well, how do I know, we mentioned before, how do I know if I'm worthy to take this? I may have such a messed up, dirty life. I don't know if I can do this. We sang a song today. Let no one caught in sin remain inside the lie of inward shame. We don't have to live in that anymore. Beautiful things. These songs are about what Jesus Christ can do with us. I wonder if I'll ever find my way. All this pain. I wonder if my life could really change. Could all that is lost ever be found? What is one of the greatest songs ever about being lost and being found? Called Amazing Grace. What a wonderful song. We're going to have the opportunity to sing it here in just a little bit. Could a garden come up from this ground? I love this song. Absolutely. Absolutely a garden can grow. You see, with man, what? This can't happen. But with God, nothing is impossible. And we have to believe that. And we have to embrace that. And when we embrace that thought and that belief and that way of life, when it becomes more than a belief but becomes a way of life, that's when we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes again. Two questions relating to communion. that we're asked a lot. Who can receive communion at prayer of faith? Well, any that believe in Jesus Christ, we open this up. We have open communion. Now, I want everyone to listen to me carefully. God's Word says, when you believe, be baptized. Right? If you're a believer and you're partaking of the Lord's Supper and you have not been baptized, well, guess who I want to see right after service down here? I want to see you to see if you want to be baptized. I want to see you to see if you have questions about that. Why? Because it's following God's Word. When you believe, be baptized. If you're believing and partaking of the communion, parents, if you have younger people that are taking communion and they haven't been baptized, it's time to talk to them about it. This is different than snack time. This isn't goldfish and little squeezy boxes of juice. This is the Lord's table. This is a different deal, and it's very important to take that and to tell your kids about this. When you believe, be baptized. If you have not been baptized and you believe in Jesus Christ, I want to talk to you. We've got books up here. We have a wonderful baptistry up here. It can heat up like that. It's not like the old days in case you got a cold one in years past. We got new technology up here. And let me tell you, as we celebrate a year in this realm, 8 baptisms. 8 baptisms this year in 2014. That's more than any of the past years that we've been keeping record, at least the past 8 or 9 years that we've been keeping record. That's fantastic. I believe there's more to come. Do I have to be laid down? Can't you sprinkle me? Hey, come talk to me and I'll do almost anything you want. We've been to the river before baptizing, right? Come talk to me. Talk to Pastor Helen, Pastor Eric about it. And let's start getting committed. Let's start proclaiming His death until He comes again. And let's start doing what this says. Let's get behind it and believe it. It's one thing to stand behind it as people are saying it and say, I'll stand behind that, yeah, okay. It's another thing when you grasp it and say, hey, I'm starting to believe in this thing. And then it's another thing we say, I'm starting to believe in this, and man, this is becoming a way of life to me. I am excited about this. It's open communion at prayer of faith to those that believe in Jesus Christ. Don't worry, I have a note to remind you at the end of service to meet me down here if you haven't been baptized. Why? Because we forget already. We get to the end of service. We've done communion. Oop, we forgot about what the message was about. I'm just saying. Second question that people ask a lot, or they think right here. Man, am I worthy enough to come to the Lord's table? Am I clean enough to show up here and meet Jesus Christ? Note here says, I can't answer that question for you. As we prepare for communion here in just a minute, we're getting that attitude and we're getting that preparation. And that preparation is here in our mind. That preparation is here in our hearts. That preparation is here in our soul, in our very being. It's preparing for this. This has to become more than a ritual of religion. This is so much more. In the years I've been here with Pastor Jack, I remember one Sunday, Communion Sunday. And he was talking about, I believe we had the big cross up here, and he was talking and he was over here. And he was talking about the price Jesus paid on that cross. And I'll never forget is he got in the middle of that and he got choked up. And I thought, there's a man connecting to what this is all about. You see, I don't want this to become a ritual either. I want to connect to this. If I'm not connected to this, how in the world could you guys be connected to it? And it was that thought. Miss Anna and I have talked about some music in the past, especially recently here, but there's moments when you're singing it and it connects with you so powerfully, your hands can barely play the piano. You can barely keep them on there. It's so powerful. I found myself trying to hold down that pedal and my leg is shaking so bad I can't hold down the pedal. Because I'm connected so deeply to that song and what it is saying and what it is meaning. The Lord's table should be the same. Only you can answer if you're clean enough. A year ago, as Helen and Eric and I assumed the pastoral staff role, you may have noticed we've had no guest speakers here. That was intentional for a couple reasons. Could I please get to know my sheep? Oh, by the way, could the sheep get to know me? You know, and I'm just going to be honest. Every now and then you get a new boss at work and you think, well, that poor man or woman doesn't know what they're doing. And you may have thought about that, about your new shepherd. Well, what's he doing? He's doing it wrong. He doesn't know what he's doing. And then hopefully in time you say, the new boss is getting used to things and they're okay. So hopefully, as I've led with a limp every now and then, again, this is a continual growing thing. But Dr. Johnson did our installation service on August 18th last year. Well, guess what? A year later, Dr. Johnson will be back here at Prayer of Faith. And he'll be preaching August 17th. And a lot of people say, I want to know when he's coming. So I'm just letting you know. It doesn't have anything to do with the message. It's just a note I forgot to mention at the beginning of service. I do not have my wife's organizational skills at all. At all. You saw me after Falls Creek. Eric, could you get my Bible? I forgot it back there in the office. That's so excited. I apologize. As we come back to the focus of the Lord's table. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 goes on. And this hopefully will answer your question. Am I clean enough to come to the Lord's table? Verse 27 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. We talked a few weeks ago about Jan Murray talking in Bible study, saying, when Jesus comes calling, don't be caught sleeping, napping, hitting the snooze button. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Because they've eaten of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. All I want to do is take 1 minute of silence and allow you to prepare your hearts and minds and souls to come to the Lord's table today. Would you just close your eyes? I don't care if you bow your head. I don't care if you stare at the ceiling. I don't care which way your head's tilted. But would you just close your eyes to be free of distractions around you, and you can examine your heart and your mind and your soul. And those that are preparing to serve communion, if you will come forward at this time. Father, we just come before you in the privacy of our own hearts, confessing to you our sins, laying them at your feet. Father, I ask that if anyone is here today that feels unworthy at this time, that they would meet you right now. That they would meet you right now at their seat to be cleared and free of that. I ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. If you would, come forward, receive the elements, take those back to your seat. When you get back to your seat, you may be seated and we'll all take the elements together. On the same night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave this to his disciples. He said, "Take and eat, for this is my body broken for you. For as often as you eat of this bread, do this in remembrance of me." Church, let us eat. In a like manner, he took the cup after he'd supped, and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, which is my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. For as often as you drink of this cup, do this in remembrance of me." Church, let us drink. As 1 Corinthians 11 tells us, when Paul had instituted this, that the Corinthian church went in to share this with them, he said, "For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." And I believe when we come together at the Lord's table, two things happen. A cleansing of the person through confession or repentance in the privacy of their heart, and a unifying of the body of Christ as we come together at the table. Now, this is no buffet laid out for you, but this is better than any buffet that we can offer as a church. And I believe this meal unites us together as a body of believers more than any other meal that we could ever share. You see, every time we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes again. And we're proclaiming that Jesus Christ gave his life as a sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins. What words and actions that you express, what are they proclaiming today? It says, as they finished with Jesus, they went out singing a hymn. And we're going to do the same thing. No better hymn than Amazing Grace that Jesus Christ has given to us. Let's lift our voices today to him.
Sweet the sound that sings.
Let's lift up your voices on this next verse. Fantastic song, and I love when it's sung quietly, and I love when it's sung loud. Man, there's nothing better than celebrating the Lord's table with one another, unifying the body of Christ, laying our baggage down at the table before the Lord and saying, take this, and then going out and singing a hymn just like the scripture said the disciples did. Going out proclaiming that. What amazing grace our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has for every one of you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity today just to come before the Lord's table, Lord, proclaiming your death until you come again. Looking back at the price you paid, looking forward, it's your second coming. Lord, would you help us all prepare for that second coming by being awake, being alert, being knowledgeable, helping one another out. God, let us help our brothers and sisters watch out for the traps and the snares that can catch us, for the stumbling block in the path of one another, for those that have stumbled and tripped and fallen time and time again. It may be simply time to look up or look down. Look down at your feet. Let God lead your feet. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Let God direct your path and quit making your own path. Wandering in the wilderness, hoping you'll wind up in some beautiful, magical land. Look up every now and then. See the beauty of God's world. And don't get hit by that low-hung branch. Man, let us prepare for your second coming. Father, we thank you for your amazing grace that you have shown each and every one of us. I ask that our actions and our words represent you this week well. And where they don't, that we repent, we catch ourselves and we correct ourselves. God, help change us, help transform us to be Christ-like individuals. Father God, I thank you for the amazing year you have given Prayer of Faith, that you have given our members, our pastoral staff. We ask that you continue to bless this church body, this body of believers. We come closer together to one another, closer together to you, and we grow in Christ. I ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. Before we dismiss, two things. If you haven't been baptized, you want to talk about that, I'd like to meet you right here. If you're a visitor with us today, I'd also like to meet you before we talk about baptism with anyone. And then let's sing this one last time, Amazing Grace. I want to hear just your voices, and I want to hear them loud, very light piano, Anna. Lift it up. He's been great to us. Miss today. Have a great week. We'll see you on Wednesday night for Bible study.